Un gwaith hwn a hadi wano dos. Nene Aboriginal Voices. Oscar te wa nyawar Oscar. Ne jota FM CFRC.
And you are tuned to CFRC at 6 o'clock on this absolutely gorgeous Tuesday evening. And, you know, it's amazing that that we have such beautiful skies. I hope everybody's out there enjoying it. Ani nichkuenk, Doug Farquhar and Dijnikos. Esna Sean Story. Esna, you ready? Yeah. Here we go. Aboriginal Voices. All set on this gorgeous evening, Sean. And, you know, we're having fun. There's so many people around here on campus that now it's harder to find a parking spot.
Yep.
We have to walk more than five parking spots to get here.
Used to be you get the one right on the end.
That's it. And, but also, we would like to welcome all those who are trying to be part of CFRC as volunteers.
There's folks in there now.
They're learning how to use all the equipment we have. Well, that's kind of exciting.
Young people.
They are, aren't they? Yeah. Almost smiles.
Of them.
They have no idea what they're getting into.
Like what?
All the fun radio. You can have here at radio. Yeah. But it we meet lots of people too. And we come into interesting challenges, like the one we're going to have tonight.
Yeah, like what?
Historical tracks. Oh, we're going to carry on with historical tracks in a little while. We're going to do a few things first, and then get it all set, ready to roll. It's amazing, though. I met two people here that I've heard their voice.
Oh yeah, who's that?
Yeah, one is Simone.
Simone.
Yeah, she's on in Wednesday morning, eight till 10 o'clock.
Was she singing?
No. She's just like you, a host, a co-host. Jeff and Simone have the show on Wednesday mornings here at CFRC.
Jeff and Simone,
right? And so I was telling her that I listened to the show and I have lots of fun because they're like us.
Are they?
Yeah.
Except they're not quite like us.
Well, they are like us in the sense that they work together.
Are they like us because they listen to our show?
No, they have their own style and their own ideas. Yeah, but and they're in the morning, so they've been up for a while and they get to talk to all the people who don't talk back at that time of day. Unlike us, you know, we get people texting us during the show
Texting us right now.
Oh, my goodness. And afterwards, you know, the show, sometimes Wednesday or Thursday or even a Friday, I'll get somebody stop me at our little local grocery store in our community.
Oh, yeah?
Stop to chat.
And, that's weird because nobody ever stops me.
Oh, my goodness.
They never say, oh, yeah, hey, you.
I get.
You sound familiar.
I get requests.
And I think no.
you sound familiar to me.
But you never call. You never write.
Oh.
You never meet me in the supermarket.
I met you at the coffee shop.
Remember? I was
a few times. I met you. I met you at the big garden.
Yeah.
When we did the seed.
I don't know, it doesn't count.
Seed to salsa.
No, it doesn't count.
That
no.
I met you at the art gallery.
No, it doesn't count. That
the
don't
art
count
show.
Either. Which one?
The one at Tintinega.
Oh, yeah.
That counts.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of art gallery.
Yeah.
That is it Agnes Etherington or the Stouffer
Agnes
Art
Etherington
Gallery now.
Has most of the artwork, but one of the displays is at the entrance to the Stouffer Library.
Well, wait a minute. Why is that? Now, does the entire Agnes Etherington?
No. Just
are they closed completely?
I don't know. There's a great big crane over there still.
We'll just put these ones over here.
Yes, I think that's what they've done.
Well, that ain't right.
Sure, it is. It's going to be seen by everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you been over there?
No,
I'll take you there after the show.
No, I wouldn't go over there.
Sure you will.
Like, I used to go there 100 million years ago, mm-hmm. when they were the only people in town that have internet.
Oh, right.
And internet was this strange new world.
It still is strange.
It is very strange. I navigate it a little better now. But back then, we had like Ask Jeeves.
Yes.
And we had Yahoo was the big deal. And do you have Yahoo Mail? Or do you have, what was the Hotmail, I guess, was the
other one? Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was long before Gmail.
Oh, definitely long mm-hmm. before Gmail. Gmail got it right. Anyways, so sorry for the memory lane thing.
No, that's fine. That's good.
Anyways, so you're saying you're talking to Simone and Jeff?
No, just Simone.
Well, where was Jeff?
No idea.
Well, what was she saying?
Anyway, no, just chatting about what she's doing here.
What was she doing here?
Well, a lot of people are doing promos and they're doing work, for, I guess, the PSAs that we have here at the station.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
When does she go on?
Wednesday morning. I think it's 8 o'clock. What does it say there?
Indie Pop.
The Indie Wake Up?
Yeah. Just says Indie Pop and Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jeff and Simone?
Yeah, it's the Indie Wake Up call.
That's them?
It should be them. Oh, I know what the problem is for you.
Oh, here it is here. Uh-huh. What? I can't read? Is that what you mean?
No.
No, it's right here.
You're on the CFRC website.
Yeah.
With the listen button. You can look at the schedule.
Marika? Is that you can't read it either.
I can't see it from this distance.
Yeah.
I'm 6 miles away from
Dean here. And Megan. Tuesday. Or on Tuesday. Jeffrey, the movie nerd.
You're on Tuesday.
Yeah, Jeffrey the movie nerd.
There you go. Yeah.
But Dean and Megan were on this morning.
There you go.
Yeah, I know how it works, Doug.
Okay, I don't.
I've read a calendar before.
So they give you
Jeffrey,
the description
the movie
for today.
Nerd. Interesting. Yeah. Simone the Moon on Wednesdays?
I guess they have alliterations. Anyway, she's very nice.
Well, at this level, wouldn't you have
tomorrow
alliterations?
Tomorrow morning, you'll have to listen in between 8 and 10 o'clock.
Tell them Doug sent you.
No, you, Sean.
Did I send them?
No, you're the one who should
Sad
be listening
news.
Tomorrow so you can hear it.
Sad news, Doug.
Oh, no.
Robert Redford passed on.
Oh, you're kidding.
Today. Or in the night. They announced it today.
Yeah.
I think it was today, actually.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah, no longer a...
He was involved in the Sundance Film Festival, I think.
He was.
Okay. See, I know some things.
He invented it. Maybe the movie nerd. Maybe we get Jeffrey the movie nerd in here. He would know.
Call him tomorrow morning.
Say,
put him on the spot.
Jeffrey, yeah. Movie nerd. Tell us more about this.
Can you name one song? One movie that Robert Redford...
Me?
Yeah.
The Natural.
Nice.
You know The Natural?
No.
It was a baseball movie.
Oh, good for you.
He was
sports.
In fact...
Last week you had a sports question.
I think his name was Roy Cobbs.
And he's playing a real player?
No. Oh. It was imaginary.
Okay.
There was baseball movies. Mm-hmm. There was Eight Men Out. And then there was that one with... what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
If you build it, he will come.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Okay. See, I know some.
Costner. That was Kevin Costner.
Okay.
And then they had this Natural. I think that's how it worked. In my head, that's how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Any case.
Yeah.
That was Robert Redford.
Okay.
a river runs through it. That was mentioned to me this morning.
Is there? Oh,
or okay. sometime.
Yeah.
Actually, I read it. It wasn't mentioned to me. It just popped in my brain. Mm. Somebody said, oh, yeah, a river runs through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? I don't.
Now,
maybe he directed
the
it.
The one I do remember was where he was, the two cowboys were in trouble.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So that's the last time you went to the movies, right?
Probably.
He's had a few after that.
They used to have the movies that went click, 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 click.
They used to have,
now they're digital.
They used to have Saturday matinees.
Oh, you're having fun.
Yeah, back in the day when you could get into the movies for a nickel.
10 cents.
Yeah.
No, where'd you get in for a nickel?
Oh, I never got into
them for a nickel. 10 cents.
I remember it being like $2.50, I think.
Wow, $2.50?
Like on a matinee, too.
Oh, wow.
$2.50.
Yeah.
I never paid that, but that's what I remember.
I remember when I first going to the movies was like 10 cents.
All right.
And I didn't like doing that. You know why?
Why? Because it was 10
because
cents.
I could buy a little tiny brown candy bag of candies, and you go and you pick them all out. For 5 cents, you get a whole bag full.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I remember back in the day, the corner store, they would have, I think it might have been a 25-cent mystery bag.
Oh.
And you have, like, all kind of candy in there, and it was, like, 20, like a quarter.
All the candy nobody wanted.
Just about, yeah. I think it was all the candy that was going to be stale soon. They couldn't sell it for new.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was still fun. Mystery bag. I was like, oh, mystery bag. I think
I'll
get a mystery
bag. No, I don't like that. You didn't mind spitting it out.
Pick a bag, any bag, and you'd pay your quarter or whatever it was. And you could go to the store with the pop bottles and get, 50 cents or something like that.
Wow, for a pop bottle?
If you took, you took a lot, right?
They were a nickel.
Is that what it was? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what the math is,
Doug. It eventually went up to 10 cents.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, let's get on with the show.
Yeah, okay. Nostalgia.
That's
fun.
Simone's fault.
By the way, September is the beginning of storytelling, but the real serious storytelling comes after the first snowfall. And I can tell you, it has snowed in Canada.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last week, the tiny bit of snow.
Nice.
Just
where?
North of Iqaluit.
Oh, okay. They've got snow up there all the time.
No, not all the time. But anyway, so storytelling. You've started Aboriginal Voices tonight, storytelling.
With a story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about Robert Redford.
There you go.
No longer with us.
Right.
Isn't that unfortunate?
It is.
I remember he did this, I don't know if it was specifically him that did the documentary, but he did voice it, and it was Incident at Oglala.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that it was...
He was the voice who hosted
it? He was the narrator.
Okay.
And it was kind of cool. And then you see his Incident at Oglala, and his undername, like, produced by... Robert Redford. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for those guys. I should probably look it up to see really who did it. It's been a number of years. Maybe Jeffrey, the movie nerd, would know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to some music. I have Twin Flames ready for you. They're an Ottawa-based group right now, a duo. And they're going to introduce the song that they sent us quite a while ago. But they're going to introduce "Just Like a Ghost." Are you ready for this?
Born ready.
Hi, this is Chelsea.
And this is Yai, and we are Twin Flames.
You're listening to our new single, "Just Like a Ghost."
Me, please. photograph make-believe. You said I'm sorry when I needed it most. Show up in my dreams just like a ghost.
On Saturday, September 20th, people coast to coast will join together in support of Indigenous rights, migrant rights, economic justice, climate justice, and peace. This nationwide mobilization coincides with the opening of Parliament. In Kingston, folks are invited to join the People Powered Parade gathering at Victoria Park at 1:30, which will then proceed to McBurney Park. Brought to you by Draw the Line, for people, for peace, for the planet. Learn more at drawtheline.world.
On Saturday, September 20th, the Queen's Gaels hit the road once more to wage war in Waterloo. Will Alex Braken and this explosive Gaels offense strike gold against the black and gold?
A totally tremendous touchdown!
Or will Quinton Springer and the Warriors run away with an upset victory?
OMG!
Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM to find out. We'll be live at 12:45 with the Rad Club pregame show ahead of the scheduled 1 p.m. kickoff.
With Open Mouths, the podcast is hosted by Carnita Lilla, Associate Curator, Art of Africa at Agnes Etherington Art Center. She sits down with artists, musicians, curators, and spoken word poets to discuss the expressions of their practice. She finds out how they found their artistic voice, which life events shaped them, and who their inspirations are. Find new episodes on Digital Agnes, CFRC's website, and on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe now and join us for moving and inspiring conversations.
Good morning, Kingston. This is your Indie wake-up call.
Playing anything new and everything indie. Garage rock, hip-hop, folk, punk, and electropop. New, Canadian, and even local. Indie Wake Up handles your morning. Here for you, Kingston. Weekday mornings from 8 to 10. On the one, the only, CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, it's 20 after 6. Hey, it's Doug.
Yeah.
What's time that? For what? Historical tracks?
Oh, right. I'm ready for this tonight.
We picked out of the hat Don Ross. Don Ross historical tracks.
For today.
For today.
I love it.
What is it, like the next 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, this week and next week, yes.
Yeah, that's two. All right. So today we will focus on the master of the fretboard, and this is the architect of sound. He who paints pictures without a single word, and we are celebrating the artistry of Canadian guitarist Don Ross. They say Canadian here. And he's a pioneer in the world of acoustic fingerstyle guitar. Correct?
Yeah. And we've both seen this.
I've seen it several times. Mm-hmm. Don Ross, he has that unique ability to fuse jazz, folk, and rock into compositions that are technically dazzling.
I think they are.
Yeah. It's amazing what he can do with a guitar and, you know, a couple of hands.
Wait, didn't he make a song like that?
Two mitts full of fingers. And so we're going to explore three of his iconic pieces, each one a testament to his evolving style and his boundless creativity. Douglas.
Yes.
We'll start with the Don Ross, and he's telling us about receiving the 2021 Walter Carson Prize.
Do you know that prize?
I know nothing of the Walter Carson Prize. Is it Johnny's brother?
No, I don't think so. No,
relation?
I think it's part of the Canada Council for the Arts.
The prize recognizes excellence in the performing arts.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. It's administered by the Canada for the Arts.
Well, let's let Don tell us the story.
Yeah, he probably can do better.
Yeah, here. This is Don.
My name is Don Ross. And I have been a composer and performer for many years, since the late 80s. I've been at it full time. My background is kind of interesting, I guess. My father's a Scottish immigrant, and he met my Indigenous mother in Montreal. Well, I'm really proud to be a member of the Millbrook Mi'kmaq First Nation. I've never actually lived on the reserve. My parents did. My mother, of course, grew up there. And then later in life, she and my dad decided to move back. So I started visiting really regularly. I've got to know the community a bit, and the chief and council, and it's a really good group of people. Over the years, they've been very supportive for not just myself, but they've helped my daughters with their education. So I really feel like I owe a lot to the community, especially since my wife and I decided first to move back to Nova Scotia, and now here to Prince Edward Island. You know, it's all Mi'kma'ki. It feels, there was just always something magical about this place. I think my music has been influenced very much by where I've lived. I grew up in a francophone milieu, and I listened to a lot of musics that a lot of Anglo-Canadians and Americans would not necessarily have been familiar with. So I think that had a strong influence on me. But then I grew up in big cities, so it really opened me up to a whole lot of different musical influences. master's degree at York University in Toronto. And it was pretty incumbent that I start making money and having my own job. And then I applied and received a fairly major grant early on in my career in the late 80s. And I was finally able to say, okay, this is a sign that I am to quit the job. And happy to say, I've never had a straight job since. Through a lot of my career, because I was traveling so much, I found geography and human beings were sort of the most predominant reasons for being inspired to write a tune. And one way that I, fortunately, this is kind of cool, this is a new method I use to write more in the last 10 years or so. I started recording my own albums. So sometimes what I do is I'll be writing a piece of music and I'll come up with a bunch of ideas and I'll just say to myself, okay, I'm just going to freeform whatever comes to mind, and I just press play and record and I'll just work on these ideas. I'll go back and listen to it and think, okay, well, idea 4 is pretty good and idea 7 wasn't bad. And I'll start maybe editing those pieces together to see what they sound like. And I'll say, that's actually cool. And usually I'll say, okay, now I'll re-record it. Occasionally, though, it might be 16 minutes long. I cut it down to 10. I think, well, 10's too long, but it's starting to glue together better. And I'll keep whittling away and whittling away just with editing. So then I'd end up with a 4-minute really cool tune. So that's a really nice new way of working that I wouldn't have been able to do earlier in my career. Launching a career in the music industry is a totally different landscape now than it was when I started, that's for sure. You know, when Napster happened, suddenly the bottom fell out of the recording industry and it's never really recovered. In fact, it's gotten smaller and smaller. A couple of summers ago, I'm driving along with my wife. She's driving the car. I'm sitting there sort of moaning about how difficult it's getting. And she said, well, would you consider going back to school? And I said, well, only if I can find an online master's program in orchestration, you know, for film, television. And yeah, as she's driving along, about 10 minutes later, I found the program that I ended up enrolling in. Ironically, even before my degree ended, I started getting offers to do film and television work, and it's been nonstop. I mean, I write more music now than I ever have, and it's become an everyday, full-time, very viable way to do it, and I'm really happy about that. I knew I'd been nominated for the Walter Carson Prize, and I knew that the music side only comes up once every 4 years. So that's kind of interesting, because it's not an annual prize. And the judges are your peers. That, to me, almost means more than anything else about the whole thing, is that it feels like a doff of the cap from them, you know? And that's a real privilege, because it makes you realize, okay, I don't just have fans, or I don't just have listeners or whatever. I also have people who are really discerning, who are making these decisions about things like this. On many levels, it's such an honor, really. I don't know what Canadians would do without organizations like the Council, because it's not just artists that benefit. It's, of course, the audiences that benefit the most, because Canada needs to have its own voice, its own culture, its own artistic activity. And if we don't invest in it, then it won't exist. So it's wonderful that in this day and age we have organizations like the Council, and that they are supported by governments and by population. It's great.
Well, Sean, that's nice having Don Ross give us the... Kind of an interlude to the next part of the show. I know it says that here.
He's an interesting guy.
Yeah. Interesting, too, because I didn't realize that he is actually Mi'kma'ki from Prince Edward Island. I thought he, when we first talked, gonna have to go back and check this, but I thought he was from New Brunswick area. But anyway, that's fine. That's kind of interesting how many songs Don Ross has. Just amazing.
Yeah, he is prolific.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, part of his work, when you were talking before about a master at making the sounds on the guitar, mm-hmm. It's a 12-string guitar, right? I think. We'll have to get him to tell us about it later. But I thought One of the songs that I would like to hear is The Thing That Came From Somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because that's often when I'm hiking on my trails, you kind of say, how did this rock get here? You know, it doesn't fit, you know. And one example, and it will do it with storytelling later on, was hiking in the plains of Saskatchewan. And we came across an area where there were some rocks polished, all polished up. And you think, how can there be polished rocks out here in the prairies, right? But it was a kind of a special green color.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When I took it back and did some investigations, it's a piece of jasper.
Oh, jasper.
Guess where it comes from?
Jasper?
Yeah, yeah. Up in the Rocky Mountains. How in the world did it get from jasper to here? Some kid probably took it and had it in his pocket for a long time and then dropped it.
Now, yeah.
Well, anyway, it turns out that's not the case. Oh, it has to go. The First Nations out there were telling me the story about Nappy.
Oh, yeah, Nappy.
Yeah, and how the rock chased him.
Okay.
I'll leave it to
Nappy
later.
Nappy and okay. The rock.
Yeah, but that's, you know, does that ever happen to you? You know, where the thing that came
me?
From somewhere?
No.
No?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well, see, that's why we don't hike on the same trails.
No, I was going to say, because you said, oh, you know, where does this come from? Mm-hmm. This thing that came from somewhere, that's what you're thinking.
Yes.
I'm thinking is, when are we getting back to the car?
It's supper time, right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the title of this song refers to a 2008 CD that Don Ross put together along with an American guitarist, Andy McGee.
Oh.
And Don wrote a lot of the music, and then the album features 12 tracks. 12. Wow.
12 of them.
Yeah. And includes the duet with the individual compositions and arrangements of the songs by, you know, other musicians. But it's amazing. This one is Don's, and it's his solo piece. And, while still rooted sort of in his signature percussion style. Have you heard it? You know, when he...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, people are going to hear it as we play this song. Yeah. Anyway, it's really a testament to his ability to do both technical wizard stuff and masterful musical storytelling. There's that storytelling again.
Musical storytelling.
Yeah. So are you ready?
Oh,
what's the title again?
The Things That Come From Somewhere.
Hello, folks. It is now 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. You're tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. Yes. We are broadcasting live.
Thank you.
Douglas.
Yes, what's up?
Wasn't that awesome?
That was great.
That like really there was that other thing and it worked out because where did that come from?
Well, that's the title of the song, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so. That thing from somewhere.
The things that came from somewhere.
And then that woman jumps in there and starts talking. And you're like, oh, what?
That's Rue.
What's that all about?
Rue. She does the interviews.
Is she a woman?
Bands and so,
yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, she does a great job.
Good for Rue.
It's nice having her part of the station.
Guess who I met?
Okay.
Simone. Simone was out there in the...
Was she listening to the fact that we played the Indie Wake Up Call promo?
I don't think
so.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Simone, if you're listening, show up over here in... What's the studio?
This is Control Room 2.
CR2.
And I'll run over to C and we can have her...
Well, okay. We can do that. That'd be all right.
But anyways, next...
That was the things that came from somewhere, and that was by Don Ross. You said something about some other guy playing.
Yeah, Andy. Yeah.
But he wasn't on that one, right?
No.
Good. Anyways, so what we're going to have next, what's coming up next, is a staple of modern fingerstyle guitar. And it's a piece that perfectly captures... his rhythmic and melodic ingenuity.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a distinctive style.
Yeah, so this is from his 1999 album, Passion Session. This is Tight Trite Night.
Sample of that.
Yeah, you like?
I like that. Yeah,
we'll play the whole song in a minute.
Okay? Yeah, well, it's melodic, isn't it?
Yeah. So the title, it's as clever as the music itself. What you're hearing is the masterclass in a modern acoustic guitar. So Don Ross is not just playing a melody; he's orchestrating.
Ooh.
A full band on one instrument. Like, there's not a whole lot of people out there, right, can do that.
No.
Like, there's the guy who can play the drums, but he wouldn't necessarily be able to play the guitar. Don Ross does both.
Mm-hmm. I wondered how he did that all those years ago when we first met him.
I guess probably like a genius.
I watched him playing, maybe. And I thought, how does he...
Maybe he's a musical genius.
Keep track of it all.
Yeah, I don't know. Once you get in that groove...
Yeah.
Probably not that difficult. So he's doing that all on one instrument, and it's a deep percussive thumps are his drums. The intricate bass line is his rhythm section. Mm. So and the soaring clear melody is the lead instrument. The track is built on a tight, almost funky groove.
Mm.
But it's also anything but trite. So this piece showcases a period in his career, where he was truly pushing the boundaries of what a single acoustic guitar could do. Now you're saying to yourself, "Well, that was he recorded it that way." No,
he didn't.
Like he didn't record several tracks of him doing these individually. He did it all at once.
He did it all of it at once.
Is Simone here?
No,
who's that? Is that Jesse?
Yeah.
But anyways, no. If you go to his concerts, he will play this all by himself, lone man guitar on stage, and he will play this whole thing. And it's amazing to watch.
Basically, this is what he plays. That's amazing how he can do that. So do you have more?
Is there more?
Yeah, there was a little bit more.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, I spent all that time getting
all
ready
right,
for it.
Now we'll dive into
it. No, back up.
What do you mean, back up? Yeah, it's all done.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you that. Tight, trite night.
I'm not. Don't you like just the beginnings? That was Don Ross with Tight, Trite Night.
Yep, yeah. Tight, Trite Night.
Good thing he has a comma between each of those title elements. Anyway,
say it really fast 10 times.
No, don't do that. I'll just have my tongue's tied just saying it once. Now, we're going to take a different look at some earlier work that Don Ross did.
What are you going to...
Now, I'm not quite sure, but this one is a little bit more aggressive.
Is that?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
I remember. Yeah.
Anyway, this track that we're going to do now in a couple of seconds is a title track from his 1995 album.
Holy.
That's going to lead us into a whole discussion about, you know, Don Ross and our memories about him. But
historical facts.
Yeah, historical tracks. Some of them. Mm-hmm. And let me just play a little bit of this for a second, because it shows a little bit of Don Ross's sort of solo work. Here. What do you think of this? How's that for a start?
That's awesome. So that was This Dragon Won't Sleep. And it seems it's his most ferocious, at his most ferocious. And it was released back in the 90s. And it was a period when he was experimenting with the full band arrangements. And this song is the centerpiece of that exploration. So the piece is built on powerful driving rhythms and the addition of full band drums, bass, electric guitar, and it gives it a monumental, almost cinematic feel.
I'm thinking that this is at a time after he'd been to York University in the music program.
Apparently.
Yeah, because I think that... part of his studies in the 1990s was his, because his passion with this 12-string guitar.
Passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the acoustic guitar, the solo acoustic guitar from his earlier work is now firing, breathing beast.
That's why the title, eh?
And it's a lead instrument that slices through the mix. The title itself would suggest that unstoppable force, a restless energy. The music lives up to that promise. It shows that his genius isn't confined to a single instrument. It's a compositional force that can manifest in any form, from a quiet introspective piece to a roaring rock anthem.
So this is going to be Don Ross, This Dragon Won't Sleep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, so, Sean, there you go. That's Don Ross. This dragon won't sleep. And, you know, we're going to run right up to the top of the hour and probably over it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Obrigado.
Yeah, but before we do that, yeah, let's just do a quick reminiscing on Don Ross from our perspective. Yeah, as being a host of a radio show where we got a chance to go and interview a musician.
Yeah.
So when was the first time and where was it?
I don't know. Back in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was at the Connor House. Connor House in Belleville. It's on Pinnacle Street. It's no longer a coffee shop. It is now a doctor's office.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but before it was a doctor's office, it was a house with two, I'm going to say old ladies, senior.
Thank you.
Senior ladies who were, I think, sisters. They were kind of like everybody sort of knew them.
Oh, yeah.
But right. I don't think by name, just that. Well, that's,
they'd all say hi.
The Connor
as they
House.
Come in.
Yeah. And they used to do a lot of gardening and whatnot around their house. And the house is more or less in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, they unfortunately succumbed to life. And then the house turned into a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And that is where we went, because he was going to be playing at the church up on the hill. I want to say it's called St. Thomas, but I'm not sure.
No, but
I just know that it's
on Church
there.
Street.
It is on Church Street.
Yeah.
And they have like a little coffee house thing in there, and that's where he played.
So
and that's where
like?
I first seen Scott Stevens. Yeah, Scott Stevens was there.
Scott was a programmer and a music coordinator.
No, it was before
here.
He was a programmer, I
okay.
think.
Yeah.
And I happened to see him as he was learning to become a programmer. And I'm like, did I see you at the Don Ross? And he's like, honestly, Scott used to have like really long hair.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Okay, so what was it like being having a chance to sit down quietly with this musician?
It was cool because he bought the orange juice I drank, and we drove over there in his van to Connor House. We could have walked, but it was cold. I think it was mid to late September, and yeah, so he drove, he did the interview, he bought orange juice. I think he bought coffee or something like that, but anyways. So that was fun, and we did it upstairs in the, the upstairs office bedroom area where you could drink your coffee and hang out, read, whatever they used to do at the Connor House. Anyways, since then it's turned into a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.